ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः चैतन्यं सर्वगं सर्वं सर्वभूतगुहाशयं यत् सर्वविषयातीतं तस्मै सर्वविदे नमः. Oh, very nice. Welcome back, and welcome also to the many students attending this class online. We'll continue with our study of Upadesha Sahasri, Shankara's brilliant teachings. In the last class or two, Shankara focused on the nature of Atma being asanga. Asanga is an interesting word. I find in Sanskrit it has such a beautiful meaning. In English it sounds terrible, because asanga means no sangha, no connection, no attachment, no relationship, no association, aloof. So it sounds terrible in English, but in Sanskrit it's a very beautiful word, asanga. Let me give you the sense of it. Suppose you're in a really busy airline terminal. You know what that's like. People are running all over the place. Announcements are going and all of this craziness all around you, crowded. Some people sitting, standing, walking, talking, walk on their phones. All of this stuff is going on all around you. Suppose you just stand there and be quiet. Asanga. You are in the midst of the activity. Notice, you are in the midst of the activity, but not affected by it. And that's kind of the sense of this word, asanga. Doesn't mean you should be remote or aloof. It means to be present, immediately present, but not affected. So that was the nature of Atma being asanga has been established through Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava, as we saw in the prior class, scripture, scriptural revelation supported by reasoning and confirmed by personal experience. So going on to today's verses, we will see Shankara's instructions, how that Atma, how that Asanga Atma can be known. And let me mention that we have a longer meter now, in fact, to the end of the class, a longer meter, which means the chanting style is a little different. Nachasti Shabdadir. Thank you. I went the wrong way here. There are two buttons, forward and back. You'd think I'd figure out which is which by now. Thank you. Na chasti shabdadir ananya vedanaha. Na chasti shabdadir ananya vedanaha. Paraspare napi na chaiva drishyate. Paraspare napi na chaiva drishyate. Parena drishyastu yatharasadayas. Parena drishyastu yatharasadayas. Tathaiva drishyatvata eva daihikaha. Tathaiva drishyatva tathaiva daihikaha. Drishyatvataha eva daihikaha. We'll see that in a moment. So, at the beginning, he's talking. This verse really begins at the very beginning. The distinction that we've often made in this class between subject and object, observer and observed, knower and known, or in this case, we can use the words jada and chetana. Jada, inert. Actually, the other way around, jada and chetana. Chetana, conscious, sentient. Jada, inert. So with that in mind, we can see here, Shankara says, shabdadihi. Shabda literally means sound, but it's used in shabdadi, sound, etc., is used as a like a technical abbreviation to refer to the five elements. Shabda refers, sound refers to the element of space, and then the other fire, water, air, fire, water, earth, etc. The five elements are referred to by this expression, shabdadihi. So these five elements, beginning with space, nacha asti, they are not ananya vedanaha. They are not capable of vedana, knowing or experiencing ananya themselves. So who is the knower? Who is the observer? Well, elements can't know themselves. Paraspareṇa api na caiva drśyate. Also drśyate, it is seen that na paraspareṇa api, they cannot know each other. That which is jada, inert, cannot know itself, cannot know anything else. Paraspareṇa drśyaha tu. But they are parena drishyaha, drishyaha. They are known to another. This is one of the very fundamental principles of Advaita Vedanta. And it's interesting that this poses a huge problem for science. Huge problem for science. They continue to struggle with this decade after decade, in fact, century after century. Science is fixated on half of what exists in the world, meaning material, jada. I shouldn't say half, it's not a matter of ratio. But they're ignoring science, by and large, ignores chetana, consciousness. So here it says, parena drishyaha tu. But those elements in the world are drishyaha, they're observed, they're studied by those very scientists. Those scientists study the elements, observe the world, like you and I observe the world. And this observation, yatha rasadayaha tataiva drishyatvataha. Eva daihikaha. Tata rasadayaha, which are daihikaha. Sensations born, daihikaha, sensations born of your body, like rasadayaha, taste. Your tongue is part of your body, right? So taste, the sense of taste arises in your body, and these two are drishyatva. They have the state of being observed. So here we begin with a very fundamental distinction. We're just beginning, so see where he goes in the coming verses. But we begin, like I said, at the beginning, with this fundamental distinction between chetana, that which is conscious, sentient, the observer, the knower, and jada, inert, that which is known, that which is observed. I did it again. Maybe I should lay. In fact, I've even got a white dot here to remind me. Okay, doesn't work. All right, it means this one doesn't work. Aham mametyeshana yatna vikriya. Aham mametyeshana yatna vikriya. Sukadayastadvad iha pradrishyataha. Sukadayastadvat iha pradrishyatah drishyatva yogacha parasparenate drishyatva yogacha parasparenate nadrishyatam yanti tatah paro bhavan nadrishyatam yanti tatah paro bhavan. So talking in the previous verse about physical elements, sthula bhutas, physical elements. What about sukshma bhutas? This is subtle elements. This is part of the ancient worldview where subtle realities, non-physical realities, are said to be made of non-physical elements. So referring to, you've heard the example I've given many times before, the distinction between brain and mind. Your brain weighs 2.5 pounds. It's a physical thing. Mind has no weight. But mind is a thing, right? You can't say the mind doesn't exist. Mind exists as a non-physical thing. Now, in modern times, science, we have other ways of explaining the mind, but in ancient times, in pre-scientific times, the mind and all the faculties of the body, your powers of sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch, all mental faculties, the prana, the life force that makes your body move, your powers of acting and walking and talking, all of these in ancient times were considered to be made of subtle elements. Like the physical body is made of physical elements, all these non-physical realities of who we are as human beings, they are composed of non-physical elements, subtle elements, sukshma bhutas. This was the ancient worldview. So you can see where Shankara is going with this. If gross elements, the physical elements, I should call them, can't know themselves, can't know each other, they can't know anything, jada, then the same would be true of subtle elements? Absolutely true. By the way, one really important consequence of that is your mind is made of subtle elements, your mind is jada. That explains a lot. Bad joke. Anyway, but really speaking, what makes your mind sentient is consciousness. The mind itself is just a thing. Like the brain is just a thing, granted, an extraordinarily complex thing. Well, the mind hosted by the brain is another extraordinarily complex thing. But the brain and mind are both things. Physical thing and non-physical thing. In that sense, jada. And here Shankara describes that non-physical thing known as mind. He says it includes aham, mama, iti. It includes thoughts like I and mine. It includes eshana, desire. It includes yatna, effort, will, willpower. It includes vikriya, action and intention. It includes sukhadayaha, happiness, sadness, etc. All of these it includes, and all of these are tadvat iha pradrishyatah iha. Here, all of these aspects of the mind, of the sukshma sharira, all of these pradrishyatah, because we understand them to be tadvat, like those what? In the prior verse, like the sthula bhutas, like the physical elements. Like the physical elements can't know themselves in the same way the subtle elements are tadvat. They can't know themselves, being jada. And then the third line, drishyatva yogacha parasparena te natrishyatam yanti. And cha, and also te, the subtle elements that make up your mind, those subtle elements, na parasparena, they cannot know each other, drishyatva yogacha, because they are known. They are jada, they are objects, subtle objects, but objects nonetheless. Drishyatam yanti, they have the status of being known. So he's saying here, all mental activities, this is one of the fundamental teachings of Vedanta that everyone gets, but they don't get. So, and what I mean by that is anything known to you is not you. You get it. Body is known to you, you get it. It's not you. Most people, you get the sense that you inhabit a body. You are not identical with the body. Even people who don't know anything about Vedanta more or less have that sense. Not all, but many people have that sense of being independent of your physical body. When it comes to the mind, things are a little different. So you have a body, but you are independent of your body. Most people can get that. You have a mind, but you're independent of that mind. Most people would question that. Am I really independent of the mind? How can I be independent of the mind? Everything that happens in my mind affects me. I'm not independent of the mind. This is the issue. Notice it's this, we call it viveka, this discernment. The discernment at the physical level is not that difficult. I am a conscious being who inhabits this body. Fine. This body is like a vehicle. You get into your car, this morning you all get into your car and you drove here. And in the same way you got into this body, how many years ago? You don't have to say out loud. So you entered your body at birth, actually at conception. You entered your physical body at the moment of conception, and you're still driving around, so to speak, in your physical body, and you'll continue for many, many more years. That's how it is. The body is a vehicle. Most people have no problem with that. Okay. If your car breaks down, you take it to the shop. If your body has some problems, you take it to the doctor. And most people have a fairly, relatively, pragmatic relationship with the body. I should say mature people, thinking people, people who understand deeply, will have a pragmatic relationship with the body, because the viveka, the discernment between the conscious being within and the physical body, the discernment is not so difficult. But the discernment between consciousness and mind is far more difficult. It's just a fact of our human reality, human experience. It seems like everything that happens in the mind affects us. And that seems so because we have been unsuccessful in this discernment. When something happens to your body, you can have some sense of distance. It's not that hard. You know, if you have a headache, you understand, okay, the head is pounding. Okay, that's just an unpleasant experience, an unpleasant fact. You know it'll go away. You don't make a big deal of it. But when there is sadness and grief and agitation in the mind, that seems, don't know, somehow it seems much closer. You can create some mental distance between you and your body. It's much more difficult to create mental distance between you and your mind. They seem not just close, but they seem interwoven with each other. That makes this discernment much more difficult, and that's why Shankaracharya is focusing on that very point. He says, because the subtle elements that make up your mind are jada. Your mind is a thing. Because your mind is a thing, he talks about it more technically. He says, because the subtle elements that make up your mind can't know themselves or can't know each other, they can't know anything, those elements are jada. That's Shankara's technical explanation, which we can simplify. Your mind is jada. Your mind is a thing known to you. That part you can get. You know your mind. Your mind is known to you. But this is so ironic. That which is known to you, we have this constant problem of, we call it a dhyasa, superimposition. That which is known to you, the qualities of it belong to it and not to you. If I look at, how about this paper? This paper is yellow. This yellow paper is known to me. If I say I am yellow, that's weird, right? But watch what happens. This paper is known to me, therefore I am yellow. This male body is known to me, therefore I am male. This, we'll say, agitated mind is known to me, therefore I am agitated. This is the problem. The problem of superimposition, a problem that arises due to this lack of discernment. So Shankara really focuses that on that at the end of this verse. He says, Tataha, therefore, Bhavan, you, he actually uses this kind of a formal second person, you know, like pointing politely. You are Paraha. You are different. You are separate. You are independent of all your mental faculties, just as you are independent of the physical stuff that makes up your body. You are independent of the subtle stuff that makes up your mind. Physical body is jada. Sukshma sharira, subtle body, is jada. You are chetana. You, in your essential nature, are consciousness. That consciousness is the chetana, what is utterly separate. And notice in this whole logic, a lot of yukti here. How do you combine chetana and jada, conscious and... Can there be something which is... We'll try this. I'm not sure we've tried this before. Can something be partially conscious and partially jada? I've never thought about that before. What would that mean? Now, no doubt that there can be consciousness can abide in that which is jada. You are a conscious being abiding in your body, but consciousness is separate from the jada, the body. So how would you mix those two together? They're so utterly different. You can't even say, you know, the common metaphor, they say, oh, you can't mix it like oil and water. Oil and water are too similar. And I have a feeling if you mix it vigorously, at least temporarily, you can get the oil to disperse in that water. So you can mix oil and water, but this is different. This would be like mixing... How about mixing dream water with real water? Mix them together and see what comes out. They say, wait, you can't mix dream water and real water. They exist in utterly different realms. Yes, Jada and Chetana both exist, but in utterly different realms. They can't be intermixed any more than dream water and real water can be intermixed. Should I push the right button? No? Okay. I did already. I'm really having a problem with this today. Okay, let's continue. Aham kriya dhyahi samasta vikriya. Aham kriya dhyahi samasta vikriya. Sakartraka karma palena samhata. Sakartraka karma palena samhata. Chiti swarupena samasta torkavat. Chiti swarupena samasta torkavat. Prakashyamana satatatmano hyataha. Prakashyamana satatatmano hyataha. Now, turning from the substance of the mind, subtle elements, to the actions of the mind, the behavior of the mind. What is the behavior of the mind? Aham kriya dhyaha hi samasta vikriya. Samasta vikriya, all the activities of your mind. What are those activities? Aham kriya dhyaha. Aham kriya, yeah. The activities like aham, in fact, like in the prior verse, he listed that whole long list of things, aham, mama, eshana, yatna, etc. So here he refers to that, aham. All the activities of the mind, your intellectual activities, cognitions, emotions, sensations, and ahankara, aham, that sense of individuality. This is a good fourfold summation of mental activities. Whatever happens in your mind will fall into one of these four categories. It's either a cognition, an emotion, a sensation, perception, or ahankara, sense of individuality. There are other ways of dividing it up, but this is helpful. So all four kinds of mental activities, all of these are sakartraka. All of them involve a sense of agency. When you think, you say, I am thinking. When you see, perceive, I am seeing. When you feel, I feel sad. So there's an agent involved in all of these. Ahankara is actually the sense of agency. So sakartraka, there's a sense of agency involved in all mental activities. So what? Karma palena samhata. As a result, all of these mental activities are samhata. They are connected to karma palena, to the results of actions. Excuse me. Sorry. This is a very, Shankara is being a little subtle here, or terse, we could say. He's pointing to a really big issue, and that is the bondage of karma. When you commit actions, you bear the consequences of those actions, good and bad. And since all of those consequences are generally not experienced by you in a single lifetime. It means you are driven by the law of karma to take another birth for the sake of exhausting these unrealized karmas, which means you are bound to this cycle of birth and rebirth and rebirth, bound due to karma, karmapala. Karmapala, the results of karma, and the bondage associated with that karmapala belongs to whom? Karmapala, the results of action, belong to karmakarta, the agent of action, right? Makes sense? Who gets the if I, what is a good example? If I do something wrong, should you bear the consequences? No. If I do something wrong, I should bear the consequences because the pala belongs to the karta. Very simple. The results of an action belong to the actor, the agent of action. Now, look what Shankara is hinting at here. He says that actions are associated with the activities of your mind. And those actions are the ultimate cause for bondage to this cycle of getting born again and again. So what Shankara is saying, according to the doctrine of karma, bondage to this cycle of birth and rebirth is a consequence of the activities of your mind in general, and specifically that sense of agency. I did it, therefore I receive the consequences. If I didn't do it, I wouldn't receive the consequences, right? Whatever I do, I receive the consequences of that, and that I is the agent, karta. But Shankara says that that karta, the sense of agency, we've had this discussion before, but let's make sure it's clear. That sense of agency is when you, in a very simple way, you said, I did it. If you did it, you own the consequences. But who did it? Yeah, when I say that, I remember this cartoon decades ago, this little child standing next to a broken lamp, talking to his mother. I didn't do it. Which is a lie. Anyway, we don't lie. You say, I did it, but who did it? You came to class today. That's an action. You did it. Who did it? Who made the decision to come to class? Who got into the car, started the car, drove out of your driveway and all the way here? Who did it? Aren't those all mental activities? The decision to come here is a vikriya, a mental activity. The driving a car is a mental activity, although it becomes a little automatic. I know how that works, but it's still... By the way, even though it's fairly automatic, that just shows how powerful your brain is. With that tiny little bit of attention, you're able to drive the car, and you can use the rest of your attention for other things. This is the glory of the brain and mind. So, point is that driving your car is a mental activity, walking in is a mental activity, sitting here is a mental activity, paying attention to this class is a mental activity. Who did it? These are all mental activities. Mental activities known to you. Correct? Do you know that you decided to come to class this morning? Do you know that you drove your car here? All of these mental activities are known to you. All of these mental activities belong to your mind. They are jada, known to you, the sentient conscious being, chetana. Therefore, look where Shankara takes us now. He says in the last line, prakashamana, all those mental activities are illumined by what? Go up a line. Chitti swarupena, illumined by your true nature as pure consciousness. That whole sequence of mental activities that led you from your home to be seated here right now, all those mental activities are revealed by your consciousness, samantataha, completely, without any exception, arkavat, like the sun illumines everything on the earth. In the same way, your consciousness illumines all mental activities. And here Shankara draws a conclusion from this. At the very end, he ataha, therefore. He can also mean therefore. Ataha, therefore, asitata, we have to break all these words apart. Asitata atmanaha. Therefore, atma, your true self as pure consciousness, has asitata, the absence of the state of bondage. Why? As we said, karmapala belongs to the agent. Who did it? I didn't, like the child. If I is the true I, consciousness, you can say, I didn't do it. From the standpoint of consciousness, if you say, I am that consciousness that illumines my mind, which is a true statement, from that perspective, you can actually say, you didn't come here. Right? From that perspective, you didn't come here. From that perspective, I'm not teaching. From that perspective of pure consciousness. So since consciousness is not the agent of action, consciousness possesses no karma pala, no consequences of karma, therefore no bondage. That's what he says here. Asitata. There is the absence, complete absence of the bondage of karma for atma, for consciousness, because consciousness is not an agent of action. Okay, let's see one more verse. This actually finishes this topic nicely. Yeah, did it right for a change. That's good. Drishi swarupena hi sarva dehinam. Drishi swarupena hi sarva dehinam. Vyatyatha vyapyamanansyavastitaha. Vyatyatha vyapyamanansyavastitaha. Ato natasmaraparosti verita. Ato natasmaraparosti verita. Paropitasmarata heva hishvaraha. Paropitasmarata heva hishvaraha. Sarva dehinam. Go down. Manansi. Manansi, the minds, plural. Manas, manansi is plural. The minds, sarva dehinam, of all embodied beings, like you and me, the minds of all embodied beings are vyapya. They are pervaded drishi swarupena by your essential nature as the seer consciousness. This is our class today, Jada and Chaitana. So now we're done with Jada. Now let's look at that Chaitana. The prior three verses looked at Jada from different standpoints. Now Chaitana, Drishi Swarupa, that pure consciousness, Vyapya, having pervaded Manansi, the mind, Sarva Dehinam, of all embodied beings, it pervades like Vyata, Vyat, like space. Vyapya pervades and avastitaha abides. And here we have to complete Shankara's idea. He's being very terse here. He's talking about space abiding in pots. You have to supply that idea of pot. So yata vyat, just like space, abides in pots avastitaha. This pot is full of space. We've had this discussion many times, and let's see where Shankara takes it here. He says, ataha, so just as space pervades this pot, consciousness pervades your body and mind. This is the simple teaching. You've heard it many times. Space has no form. Therefore, space can pervade this pot. Consciousness has no form. Therefore, consciousness can pervade your body and mind. Space, from the standpoint of the pot, fills the pot. Consciousness, from the standpoint of your body, pervades your body. Okay? Even though it's all pervasive, it's not like space is only inside this pot or consciousness is only inside your body. But from the standpoint of the pot, it's full of space. From the standpoint of your body, it's filled with consciousness. Ataha. Therefore, tasmat, he says twice. Therefore, he was really being vigorous here in his statement. Tasmat. Therefore. Na? Asti vedita, na asti apara vedita, paraha api tasmat. That's why. First, ataha is therefore, and the two tasmats are comparatives. So compare it, whatever you're comparing something to becomes in the ablative case tasmat. Therefore, there is no vedita, there is no consciousness. Here, vedita means consciousness. There is no consciousness that is aparaha, lower tasmat, than that. And there is no consciousness that is paraha, higher tasmat, than that. What do we mean by lower and higher consciousness? What does Shankara mean here? Shankara is saying there is no lower and higher consciousness. Well, all our new agey people would be very upset to hear that because they all want higher consciousness. Swamiji, how can I find a higher state of consciousness? I want to live on a higher plane of consciousness. According to Shankara, we'll make Shankara speak American English. There ain't no higher state of consciousness. There is only consciousness, just like, suppose I had a really big pot and this small pot. Is this really, and there is space in this really, really big space and a really small space. The big space should say, I have achieved bigness. And the small space would say, I am small. Space is neither big nor small. It's a point. Space has no size. Consciousness can't be higher or lower. It's dimensionless. Just as space has no size, consciousness is dimensionless. There is no higher consciousness. There is no lower consciousness. There are minds that are more wise and minds that are otherwise. So the mind can be so-called higher or lower, but not consciousness. So Shankara says, that consciousness is Eka Ishvaraha. That word Ishvara might surprise you. Shankara concludes here, that consciousness is the one Ishvara. Ekaha Ishvaraha. And it's tricky because Shankara and all of his disciples, back in those days, they deliberately blurred the boundary between Ishvara and Brahman. That was their style. In modern times, we tend not to do that much. But in Shankara's time, among Shankara and his immediate disciples, later it went away. But back in his time, they deliberately blurred the boundary between Ishvara, the creator of the cosmos, and Brahman, the absolute reality. So blurring the boundary, he says that consciousness is Eka Ishvaraha. And this is a good place to conclude today. Let me mention both for those of you here in class and those of you watching online, and that is that the we have the holidays are coming up. So next Sunday is Christmas Eve. You may not celebrate Christmas Eve. The following Sunday is New Year's Eve. And since many people have social engagements on those days, for these reasons, we will not meet next Sunday or the following Sunday, meaning our next class is next year. So come back. We'll have our next class next year. Okay, we'll conclude our prayer. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchid dukha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritangamaya. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om. That's it.